Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I also serve the Raynham, Kent Mission. We meet at the Epiphany Chapel in Raynham one Sunday a month. And I also serve as vacancy pastor of St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland. I'd like to invite you along to come and join us for a worship service. But if you don't live near any of those places, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and find the closest Lutheran congregation to where you live. I'd also like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers and your generous gifts, we wouldn't be able to continue this worldwide ministry of reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd also like to invite you to listen to the podcasts of the Lutheran Inquisitor or any of our programs by going to lutheranradio.co.uk and choosing from our selection of programs. We'd like to welcome back today Reverend Tapani Simeoki. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fareham, Hampshire. He also serves as the ELCE's chairman for its worship committee, and you'll probably recognize his voice as he also hosts Sunday Cantata here on Lutheran Radio. Pastor Simeoki, welcome back.
Great to be back, John. Thank you very much for having me on.
It's great to have you, and for you to give us an update on the work that the ELCE's worship committee is doing. Last week we spoke about the hymnal supplement, but you guys are up to more than just working on hymns. In fact, you're looking at some new communion liturgies. Do you want to tell us about what that work involves and why you're doing it?
Yes, so the Committee on Worship has divided the tasks into two groups. We have a standing committee that works on the hymnal supplement, and it's some of the members are regular members, elected members of the Committee on Worship, and the Committee on Worship proper has been working for a couple of years now on a revision of the communion service, both of music and of the wording of the divine service, or the service of Holy Communion.
Now, again, many might say, why are you doing this? Currently, we use the LSB. We've got five different orders of Holy Communion, the Divine Service. Isn't that enough? Why more?
That's a very good question. It's a question I get asked every single time I tell people what we're doing. It's one that we need to take seriously. If we have too much variety and too many differences and too frequent change, all it does is it upsets people, it annoys people, it confuses people, and it's therefore counterproductive. However, there is a reason why this project has been undertaken, and before I tell you more about it, I should point out that none of this current work is guaranteed to ever see the light of day, in that given that we're talking about very, very important documents, things that service settings of the service that will be used in Christian congregations week in, week out, none of this will ever be published unless it is first approved by the whole church, in this case the Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. So we are currently working on preparing text that we will then present to the church that will only come to use if the church chooses to receive it. However, there is a good reason, I believe, for this, and probably the best way to give you that reason is if I give you a little bit of historical background. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
So, as Fräulein Maria once said, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. So to answer really the question, we need to go right to the very beginning of Christian worship as far as we know about it. The earliest record we have, actual descriptive record of Christian worship, comes to us from the first half of the second century, from the writings of a gentleman known as Justin Martyr, who in the 130s, in one of his books, describes Christian worship in Rome at that time. What he describes is a service that is very similar in structure and in at least some part in content to what we have on a Sunday morning in almost any Christian church of the West or East that uses something resembling the traditional Christian liturgy of Holy Communion. A service of the Word that includes reading from the Gospels, a sermon, followed by a service of Holy Communion, the Eucharist, and then a final dismissal, and this sort of structure of service of the Word followed by the service of the sacrament has been the form of Christian worship for as long as we know about it. Now, over time in the Western Church and in the Eastern Church, this structure was not only established in general but also in specific details. The Eastern Church went down one particular route, and the Western Church a similar but generally speaking more concise route. And over time the chief parts, what are sometimes known as the ordinary parts of the service, i.e. those things that are repeated week after week, the songs were fixed. So these consist of the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, the so-called Gloria in Excelsis, glory be to God on high, the Creed, the Sanctus et Benedictus, holy, 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 and the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God. And these came in one at a time from the second, third centuries onwards into the Western service, so that by the year 700 roughly, these had been fixed into use in the Western Church with very little variety really across the whole of the Western Church, Latin-speaking Church. And once they were fixed, they remain fixed. Things around them have moved around a lot, which readings to use, the particular prayers, which psalms are included on any given Sunday. But the core text of the service was unchanged until the Reformation. And now at the time of the Reformation, by the time of the Reformation, Latin was really only understood by those people who'd been fortunate enough to have had an education. So one of the things that the Reformers did very early on, beginning again in Lutheran territories, is to begin to translate the service into the vernacular, into German, and then into other languages as well. And this was done always in a very organized, fairly centralized, regional basis. So any given German territory, whether it was a duchy or some other princely territory or a free city, each territory that had a unified government would have its own variant of the Christian worship service. The Kingdom of Sweden had its own, the Kingdom of Denmark had its own, and so on. So each region had a fixed and shared text and a setting of the service. And this came into English via America. So as these Lutherans migrated to the USA, what they tended to do was to take with them their home tradition. So Saxon Lutherans would take the Saxon services with them, and those from Württemberg would take the Württemberg service. And as they then began to speak English gradually, they would translate their tradition, their particular service, into English. Now, by the 19th century, this was beginning to cause a problem because there was such a variety of different English Lutheran services that many of the Lutheran church bodies that had begun to become majority English-speaking decided to create a new uniformity. And this came to be known as the Common Service, and was published in 1888. And so from 1888 onwards, there was, generally speaking, not universal, but generally speaking, in English-speaking Lutheranism, i.e. in the United States, one English service, just like there had been one German service for the Saxons or the Württembergers or whoever. And this became pretty much universal when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which was one of the last Lutheran churches to switch to English, also adopted the Common Service. And so in 1941, the Lutheran hymnal was published by the Missouri Synod. And at that time then, virtually every English-speaking Lutheran church in America had more or less the same service, it had the same text. Now, the problem was, for the Missouri Synod, and I'll talk about the Missouri Synod since that is, if you like, our mother church in of the ELCE, was that there was only one musical setting of this service in 1941. Previously there had been others, but in 1941 only one was set. And now the problem with that is that to have the single musical setting week in, week out, year in, year out, regardless of season, regardless of anything at all, is that not only does it become monotonous, but also that the rich variety of the Christian calendar is lost. So if you are using just the setting from the Lutheran hymnal, fine as it is, it doesn't matter whether this is Ash Wednesday or Easter Sunday, whether this is the fifth Sunday after Trinity or Christmas morning, you are always singing the same tunes. In other words, the decorations don't change. We change colors on the altar, we bring flowers in and out, we have images or we cover them depending on the season, and yet the musical garb of the liturgy was unchanged. And this obviously was unsatisfactory. So very early on, the commission on worship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod decided to start looking for alternative settings and be commissioned from living composers alternative settings so that churches can vary the music depending on the season. And this has always been the case in Christian worship. If you look at the Latin Mass, for example, any composer of worth their salt over the last 600 years will have written one or more settings of the Mass, including Lutheran composers, so that the music of the service can be varied depending on the occasion and the season. However, this work of producing these different settings was interrupted in the 1960s when new winds began to blow across the Lutheran Church and across the Christian Church more widely, as the liturgical movement that had begun in the Roman Catholic Church and then spread from there to Anglicanism and from there to other church bodies began to bring about far more radical changes to the liturgy. And to cut a very long story short, instead of producing new settings of the common service, an entirely new setting of the service, an entire new translation, and even in some cases arrangement of the text, the order of service was produced, and in the Missouri Synod this came out as the Lutheran Worship in 1982. And so when the Lutheran Service book was produced in 2006, the Commission on Worship decided to merge these two traditions, the common service tradition and then the Lutheran worship tradition, which is the reunited work of 1960s and 70s, and simply lay them all side by side. And so what we have in the Lutheran service book are five different settings of the service, as they're called, but in fact what we have four different services, and one of them has two different settings. Would you like me to explain what I mean by that?
By all means, please do.
So, strictly speaking, a setting of the service is simply a different musical setting of the one service. So in the LSB, we have settings one and setting two, which has the text or the service itself is taken from Lutheran worship. And settings one and settings two, the text is identical, but the musical setting is different. So if you use that text, you can have two different settings of it, and different congregations might use them differently, seasonally, or Sunday after Sunday, or whichever way they choose. What is called setting three is not another setting of that service, but it is the common service, which is a different wording, slightly different order of some of the parts, and the translation of the text is entirely different. We have setting four, which is a paraphrastic setting of the service. In other words, it takes those ancient songs that form the backbone of the service and it paraphrases them so that they fit into regular hymn tunes, and it uses new paraphrases to old hymns and some new hymn tunes as well. And then setting five is a translation, rough translation of the German Mass, which is Luther's paraphrase of the service. So it takes those 16th century hymn paraphrases of those parts of the service and provides them in English. So we have four different texts, and one of them has two different settings. And this, I would argue, is a problem. First of all, it's a problem in terms of the church's tradition. From the first millennium, throughout the first millennium, when the service was established, and always in, this was true always of the service in any particular place, until the migration to America, of the Lutheran Church, there's always a single text of the service. And that single text might have many different musical settings, but the text didn't vary. Between the American migration and the establishment of the Common Service, what we had in American English-speaking Lutheranism was that there were many texts. Again, one text would be used in any given place, but there was a variety of different texts of the service, and again, different musical settings. Then from the establishment of the Common Service until the Lutheran hymnal, we had, again, a single text with various musical settings. Between the publishing of the Lutheran hymnal and Lutheran worship in 1982, we had an anomalous situation again, not with the text, which is still a single text, but the fact that we only had a single musical setting, the lack of variety in the settings. And from 1982 onwards, with the Lutheran worship and then with the publishing of Lutheran service book, we've now got to the anomalous situation where we have many different texts, not just in one text in, you know, different texts in different places, but we have many different texts often used in the single place. So from one Sunday to another, or from one season to another, when we are singing the service and speaking the service, we need to check, you know, which service are we in? We'll tell you which translation of the text we're using and in which order they come. And each of these has its own musical setting. So we come to this situation where we have quite a chaotic array of texts and musical settings, which is anomalous. This is not what Christians have ever done until our day. The Christian tradition is not just that it's always been done that way, but there's a deep wisdom in not varying the text. And the deep wisdom is this, that if you don't vary the text, it's much, much easier to learn. And also it connects generations. So what we sing is what grandma sang and what our grandchildren will also sing. And so we are, if like, drawn together by the shared Christian tradition. This is not just our stuff. This belongs to our, this is what we have inherited and this is what our children will inherit from us. And there's also deep wisdom in not restricting the setting service to one musical setting for reasons I already explained, in that the mood of the service will vary greatly depending on which season we are in, what occasion we are worshipping on, and so on, and what the local customs and traditions are also.
So you're undertaking this work, but help me understand then, are you actually coming up with new liturgies, or are you coming up with different melody settings for an old existing liturgy?
Actually, the answer is we are doing both by stages. So at this current stage, the first priority, if you like, in terms of urgency, is to provide additional settings of what we already have. Now, service, the setting, the more modern translation, which is Divine Service Setting 1 and 2, that already has a choice of settings, and therefore we are, for the time being at least, leaving that as it is. But the setting 3, which is the common service, which was inherited and only very likely adapted from the Lutheran hymnal, which is known to, I think, pretty much anybody who's been around an English-speaking Lutheran church and been paying attention, we are hoping to provide at least an additional setting for that, and possibly additional settings. So we have already acquired the right to reproduce one of the settings that was commissioned by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the 1950s, but was never published, was published but went very quickly out of print and was never taken into widespread use, which is by the English-born naturalized Canadian composer Healy Whelan, which is a very fine setting. It's got quite an English Anglican kind of sound, so if you like your church music in the English style, Whelan is your man. And he produced a very sensitive and quite a beautiful and setting of the service. And we have acquired the right to produce that, and we are in the process of getting that out, hopefully anytime soon. It's already being sort of trialed in one or two congregations of the ELC, and once that's been kind of, once we've had some live feedback, we'll hopefully have that out. So that's stage one for the immediate needs of the church, and any congregation that wants to do that, wants to adapt that and adopt that, is more than welcome to do that. And we are producing not only the service booklet that goes with it, but also we have been offered the services of an accomplished professional organist from America, a young lady called Katie Moss, who has very kindly offered to record the accompaniments of these services onto CD or MP3 if you want to use a laptop or computer or iPad to do it, so that congregations that don't have a regular organist can use this setting even if they don't have their own organist and have organ accompaniment. In addition to that, we are hoping to produce a very simple unaccompanied setting, so that for services, for example, if a congregation wants to have a midweek service or a Lenten season service that is simple, or that doesn't have an organist and wants to use just unaccompanied an accompanied service, we are hoping that we will soon have one of those out, so that it will be designed really to be sung by people who don't have anyone accompanying them. So it's kept very simple and quite repetitive and therefore easy to learn. That's stage one. But the more ambitious project that we are hoping to present to the church, and then, as I said, the church can either take it or leave it, is to unify the variety of texts into a single text. The idea being that when you go to church, regardless of which setting you're singing, which musical setting it is, the text itself is always a text. So any congregation, any individual Christian only needs to learn one Kyrie, one Gloria, one Sanctus, and so on. And regardless of where you go in the ELCE, which musical setting you're singing, you're always singing the same service. Now, that obviously is a little bit of a challenging task, because the musical settings that we have at the moment have been written to specific texts. And therefore, in order to create a single text, there will need to be at least tweaking of the existing musical settings. But that's the ambition. The ambition is to create a text that is in modern English, but it's not so early 21st century that it will sound dated in 20 years' time. So it's a modern English, but hopefully in as timeless a style as possible, that will fit in with the existing musical settings, but will unify them. If we are successful with that, and if the church decides to adopt that, you will then be able to use the musical setting of Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service Setting 1, 2, and 3, interchangeably, without the text changing at all. Likewise, the Willen setting will be adapted to that. We have also acquired the right to use a service setting that was originally written for the Catholic Church by the contemporary living Scottish composer, one of the most famous and prestigious living British composer, James Macmillan, who's a devout Catholic himself. And he wrote a setting of the Mass for congregational use, and he very kindly has allowed us to adapt his setting for only a very nominal fee, and to use that in the ELCE. It's a lovely, quite a sort of Celtic sounding setting of the service, which when we played it to congregations and to the pastors conference and to worship committees, it's been very warmly received. And again, these unaccompanied settings, one or more, will be produced, and perhaps others as well. Not with the idea being not that every congregation will be using eight different settings, but that any congregation has the choice from three, four, five, six different settings to learn however many they choose, so that they can produce introduce as much variety as is desirable for them, without perpetuating the the, if you like, the slightly chaotic mixture of different texts. So that if you are, regardless of which setting you're using, if the pastor says to you, the Lord be with you, the answer will always be the same regardless of which service you're in. And the thing, the sequence of gospel, creed, and sermon will always be the same regardless of which service setting you're in, so that neither pastors nor congregations nor organists get confused.
Well, all of these projects are very ambitious, the supplement and the work with the liturgies. Do you have a time scale for when these may be ready?
The short answer is as soon as possible. Every year I like to promise people that hopefully next year in Jerusalem, if you like. The hymnal supplement is on the home straight now. And I really am hoping that it will be, the work will be, completed within the next year or so. Provided that the administrative side of things, so acquiring copyright, and licenses and so on, go smoothly. As far as the liturgy is concerned, I'm in less of a hurry with that. It's more of a priority that the work is done so well that it will serve the church for a long time to come. It's been fairly slow burning work. If it all gets done in the next three or four years, I'll be a very, very pleased person, very, very happy man. But if it takes longer than that because it's not good enough, then so be it. This really is intended to be something that will then serve the church so well that hopefully it won't have to be touched for another generation or two at least.
Well, you mentioned serving the church. Besides being chairman of the LCE's worship committee and host of Sunday Cantata, you're also pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fareham. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that congregation?
Well, we are a fairly small but a lively congregation here down on the south coast of England. The congregation was established first as a mission in late 1971 and became a congregation of the ELCE in 1975, so we celebrated our 40th anniversary a couple of years ago. Since 2002, we've been homeless in that the church building that was originally built for the congregation had to be sold, and it was demolished and replaced by housing, so we worship in a scout hall. And that serves us very well. Obviously, it's a fairly inexpensive way of having a home, and it's very convenient for us for the time being. We have on our books roughly 35 members, of whom, on average, a little over 20 turn up on every Sunday, on any Sunday. So we have quite a good high rate of attendance. Almost all our members are active, which is very pleasing. For the first time in the history of the congregation, we were actually we managed to break financially even in the last year, which is pretty miraculous given our numbers. God has been very, very, very gracious to us. We have been supported in the past by brothers and sisters across the ELC and across the world, and our members have been very generous. And so we are a congregation of really two halves. We have a number of older members who are long-standing members, many of whom are original members of the congregation over 43 years now that we've been in existence. And then we have a group of younger adults who are more recent recently joined members. And we've got very little in the middle. So we've got very few middle-aged people. We've got young people and we've got older people. And our congregation, most of our older congregation is local to Fareham, and most of our younger congregation comes from all over the south of England, from Hampshire and Sussex. We also have a mission in Brighton, which meets once a month, with about 10 people in attendance. We meet at Holland Road Baptist Church there in Hove, and we would be very, very pleased to welcome any listeners of Lutheran Radio UK from England or who are visiting the UK to join us in worship in Fareham every Sunday at 10:30 and in Highlands Road, Fareham, or on the second Sunday of the month at Holland Road Baptist Church, where we have our services at Brighton.
Thank you, Pastor Tapani Simeoki. We wish you well and pray God's blessings upon you as you work with our Savior and the Brighton Mission and all the other things you do for us here in the LCE. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the wonderful work that you do on Lutheran Radio UK and in your day-to-day work.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.